Europe is in the grip of summer holidays, and many visitors to Amsterdam this summer are disappointed to find that two of the Dutch capital's world-famous museums are closed for renovation, with only a tiny portion of their collections on show. But there are a wealth of other smaller museums in the city to visit. Louise Dunn from Radio Netherlands Worldwide ventured into Amsterdam's Hash Museum.
Amsterdam's Hash Museum, or Museum of Hash, Marijuana and Hemp, to give it its full title, is to be found on one of the canals running through the city's red light district. Tourists of all ages and nationalities are drawn to the area by its reputation as a haven of easily accessible sex and drugs. Sitting at a canal-side cafe, I talked to Ken Johnson, the museum's manager, or plant curator, as he prefers to be called. And he told me that although most foreigners think soft drugs are legal in the Netherlands, that's far from the case.
It's illegal for virtually everyone except the coffee shops, who can have a small amount, but where they get it from is a bit of a legal mystery. And, regular users in very small amounts. But no, it's very tightly controlled.
Okay, so the coffee shops exist and they're allowed to exist, but the people who supply them are criminals.
Oh yes, breaking the law. It's the intersection of sane drug laws versus insane international obligations, basically. I don't think Holland really wants to give up the revenue associated with cannabis and cannabis tourism, but it wants to be seen to be doing something for countries like Sweden and France and Germany and most especially the US. Mm.
As we stroll to the museum, Ken tells me the Dutch approach has resulted in a rate of cannabis use lower than almost all Western countries, even those which take a draconian attitude to the drug. At the museum itself, the shop which sells cannabis seeds is doing a roaring trade. We jump the queue of mostly young visitors and enter. There's not really a scent of cannabis in the air, is there?
I can't smell one,
no. Okay, oh, I see here, we've got a sort of history of cannabis here.
It was grown in enormous amounts all over Europe for 500 years. It's the single most important fibre. It rigged every ship that sailed the world. All the sails, all the ropes were made from cannabis.
As we walk past drawings of the machines once used to strip hemp fibre, Ken talks about the transformation of cannabis from vital crop to outlawed substance.
The prohibition of cannabis is an incredibly irrational movement. Basically, it's got links to racism, to social control, to industrial monopolies. Unfortunately, hemp is so useful, it's also a medicine and a drug, and it happened to be a drug mostly used by blacks and Mexicans, which was a very useful way to ban it. And that's actually where the word marijuana comes from. It was sort of the 20s equivalent of the word terrorism. It was designed to undercut people's thoughts. Everyone knew what hemp was, and if they tried to ban hemp on the floor of Congress, it would get a very different reaction. So they rebranded it as marijuana.
Oh, which sounds more threatening.
Yeah.
Continuing past a series of paintings which depict Hindu and other religious ceremonies involving cannabis, we come to a glass-walled room at the back of the museum, which is crammed with visitors. We can see quite a fine selection of cannabis plants growing. Now we get the smell as well, don't we?
These are all females, of course. Females are the only ones you really grow.
Do you ever have people trying to get into the growing room and rip some leaves off?
No, they have to go through a couple of doors and they're always stuck. You do get people occasionally wandering innocently in, but they don't really believe they're innocent.
The museum has displays of beers, books, comics, clothes, games, music, all inspired by hemp's recreational applications. But Ken says it's not just a crop to grow for fun. Cannabis is environmentally friendly, he says, as well as having a wide variety of practical, medical and nutritional uses. When I ask him why this seeming wonder plant has now got such a bad name, Ken makes an interesting comparison.
There's a curious parallel between the anti-masturbation movements of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Now, they were armed with endless reams of statistical data on how masturbation made people crazy. And you can draw such amazing parallels between those movements and the anti-cannabis movement that it's just a morally bad thing, and they come up with shaky reasons for why. But if you look at the data neutrally, conspiracy does fit very well.
Now, Ken Johnson's clearly a man who knows his subject, but for most of the museum's visitors, the history of hemp and its practical uses aren't nearly as important as that brightly lit glasshouse full of bushy plants. Legal or not, there's only one form of cannabis most of them are interested in.
Radio Netherlands' Louise Dunn brought us that report.